Been going through a, started at least back a little while ago, a series on raising children. I know for some of us it's well past that time. For some of us, having come close to that time. But I hope that at least knowledge of it and some of the topics that we talk about will be beneficial to that, to each and every one. One of the things we have to understand when we're dealing with children, and adults as well, as for that matter, is simply because limits are placed, it doesn't mean that they're always followed. We can put, usually the illustration is, you know, out here on the intersection, there's a stop sign. Just because you put a limit there saying stop doesn't mean everyone who comes up to that stop sign will stop. Well, guess what? When you tell a child there's certain limits to what they do, it doesn't always mean that they're going to follow what you say. Children at this age have a fair ability to communicate. In fact, that becomes an endless source of why. It's no longer enough to know that something exists. They want a reason. And it's not so much they want to know a detailed explanation as they want to see the logic in the world. So why is the sky blue? Well, you can either give a scientific answer that would do your physics teacher proud, or you can just say that when light shines through things, it picks up a color. And then you can use a colored glass and a flashlight and show them, and that's good enough. And they'll be happy with that. Is it absolutely accurate? No. But it's good enough for a four-year-old. And sometimes why, though it drives you nuts, is simply a child's way of engaging in grown-up talk. They can actually have a conversation and have responses with mom and dad. But now is also the time when rules are questioned. Why can't I stay up late? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to take a bath? In the same way that we handle the other ones, give simple, understandable reasons. But you got to also understand you're the parent. You don't have to justify everything to the one who's you're talking to. Think about it with God. God gives us rules. Does God explain every time exactly why we need to follow those rules? The answer is no. Sometimes he does. We really appreciate it. But sometimes we're told and we're scratching our head saying, okay, this is what God says. I might not fully understand why, but this is what God says. We need to instill that in our children as well at times. Now, if your answer is not good enough, because mommy said so is perfectly adequate. And no, dad, you can't say that. You get to say, dad said so. You don't get to blame it on your wife. Because sometimes that's what God does. Because God said so is a good enough answer. Now, understand, parents want to be appreciated too, and having your authority questioned is sometimes irritating, annoying. But, and sometimes parents even get to the point of doubting themselves. Well, I really don't know why I should be making this rule. Well, sometimes you just need to have some good rules. Remember, who's the parent and who's the child? Children need to learn obedience even when they don't understand all the reasons. And when you get to a preschool age, which is what we're talking about tonight, a child is building on things he already knows. Their movements improve, their speech improves, their vocabulary improves, they noticeably grow. This is probably one that's, there's three basic major growing spurts for children, and this is the second one. Baby fat is lost with the increased activity. Their memory develops. which then leads to a concept of time that they didn't have, which gives you the wonderful questions, Dad, when are we going to get there? Because they realize time passes by. And limits are known, but they're not always followed, as we mentioned before. They get careless. Preschoolers are very easily distracted. Sometimes they're just plain lazy. They'd rather do something they find more interesting than doing chores. And every once in a while, you'll run across a kid who just plain outright is rebellious. Doesn't like being told. Well, doesn't that sound familiar, though, if you start thinking about some of us? Sometimes we get careless and get distracted by the world. Sometimes we get lazy and just rather do something else. Sometimes we just get the irk to be rebellious. But you know what? Obedience needs to be taught. Not just to children, but to all of us. Because rules need to be followed. Got my clicker up here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 4 it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Actually, I wanted to start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And I want you to take notice. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is proper. This is the way it ought to be. In Colossians chapter 3, and verse 20, it says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Obeying parents is what God finds pleasing. Back in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, and starting with verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. In other words, obedience makes you look good. Basically what it's saying. In fact, what we understand, and this is something we have to keep in mind, a sign of the age, this age, when things get corrupt, is when men are disobedient to their parents. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. It goes on. But notice that in that list, one of the signs of wickedness in the world is disobedience to parents. I find that interesting because as I watch from my childhood to my adulthood and watching how parents react, especially in the schools around here, things like that. That's what I see more and more of, is more disobedience to parents. It's going to last into adulthood. Only it's going to translate from disobedience to parents to disobedience to governments, disobedience to any of authority, disobedience to God. It is a lesson that needs to be learned in childhood so that it be carried into adulthood. Which, if we understand that, I didn't have my list, sorry, I'm behind one slide. If we understand that, then we have to understand that the rules have to be enforced. Somewhere along the line, it has to be trained that people obey. In Hebrews chapter 2, and starting with verse 2, for if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken to, through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. When God gave rules, there was a just penalty for disobedience. Every misdeed had to have a recompense. How is it the Israelites learned to follow God? Well, there were times when they didn't. And it was when God punished them that they learned that disobedience was not acceptable. In other words, to teach to honor authority is something we've got to instill in a child, not because, well, I'm insulted, so therefore you've got to obey what I say. That's not what we try to get into children. We want them to honor their parents, to honor the authority they hold, so that when they're older, they'll honor those who are in authority above them. And not think it's just because somebody's in a bad mood. Now, sometimes that, for a small child, you're not going to be able to do complex punishments. They don't have the concept. You're not going to be able to say, you know, well, you don't get your toy for the next week. While they got a little bit of a concept of time, a whole week is, that's forever. And they don't understand that. So sometimes spanking is an appropriate punishment. We have a society that's against it, but the Bible teaches that it's an appropriate time. It's not the end-all punishment. It's not the one solution. Sometimes you give us a solution and then everybody wants to use it for everything. But there's appropriate time for that. Because it's quick, it's short, child remembers. And so sometimes it's appropriate. But sometimes also we can let consequences serve as a punishment. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Sometimes we also can learn obedience by the fact that when we do something wrong, it doesn't come out the way we wanted it to. It has to be controlled. But sometimes we're too protective of our children. And we don't let them suffer for their actions. You don't want them to hurt, you know, get badly hurt. But sometimes you'd let them do something that you know that's going to, you know, you're careful you're about to, you might slip. They're not careful. They land on their bottom. Oh well, maybe they'll listen next time. Instead of trying to keep them from ever any injury at all. Not major injury, just, you know, something that doesn't feel good. See, the best time to teach obedience is in a controlled environment. And children need to know they can't play with everything or anything. Don't wait until you get to the store to teach your children, don't touch the crystal on the shelf. It's a little bit too late. When a child first begins to crawl and reaches for a thing that shouldn't be reached, our first instinct is, well, we'll take that out of their reach. Which is, you know, a way to protect something that's treasured. But stop and think. You never get a chance to train them. A valuable opportunity is lost. Instead, here's another way to do it. Leave the item in reach. Yeah, now you have to plan on spending some time there. But leave the item in reach, and then when he starts to reach for it, say no. In a quiet, gentle voice, and then flick the back of their hand. They'll get a little upset about it, and then they'll turn around and try reaching for it again. You say no, and you flick the back of the hand again. It won't take too many times before they suddenly get the idea, oh, no means don't reach. After a little while, you could say no in a very quiet voice, in the same type of voice, and they won't do it. Now, you have to be consistent with it, because every once in a while, they're going to try to see if no really means no in this case. And if you let it slip, then you're going to have to do all this teaching all over again. But what's nice about it is you start out, even when they're just a little crawling around, toddling, and you get that little idea in, you have comfort going someplace, and they start to reach for something, and you just say, no. And their first instinct is to draw back. Oh, that helps a whole lot, especially when you're in the store. But what I want to understand is this is an opportunity. You're taking advantage of opportunities. You're not protecting them from all things that are wrong. You're showing them that certain things are wrong. We're also trying to teach them a willingness to obey. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, when God was teaching the Israelites, in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, this day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Now we were talking about this morning, about the illustration of Cain and Abel. It's more than just obeying the rules. There's faith involved. There's an attitude, the motive behind it, that God finds even more important, as well as the actual obedience. God expects us to follow Him with all our hearts. We don't just drag our feet and say, oh, do we have to? Well, we did that when we were kids. And our parents probably snapped at us for doing that. But it's still the idea that we want to do what is right. Sometimes we teach reluctance obedience. We do it by accident. For example, do we grumble about having to go to work? Or having to go to church? By setting the example, then the kids pick that up. And they grumble about going to school. And about other obligations. Sometimes we encourage complaints and encourage parents being ignored. For example, if you make dinner and little Johnny doesn't want whatever it is that's going to be, I picked my favorite one, fried liver and onions. Gay hates those. But whatever it is that's picked for dinner, Johnny doesn't want to eat that. Do you always go and make something else for him? You know, what did you just do? Oh, if I don't like something, I get to complain and I get something better. Or not expecting immediate obedience. Now, sometimes people teach their kids to wait to obey. You know, one reminder ought to be enough. And we ought to be prepared to follow through. But I've seen parents, and I've heard parents say, well, Johnny, pick up that toy. Did you hear me? I said, pick up that toy. If you don't pick up that toy right now, I'm going to have to do something drastic. That does it, young man. I'm going to go get the switch. And then usually then Johnny scrambles to go put the toy away. And when mom comes back, he has a sweet little smile saying, see, I did it. And mom then forgets all about the spanking. While congratulating yourself, well, I got Johnny to obey. Now, what you did was you taught Johnny to say, I don't have to do a thing that mom says until she threatens to get the switch. Then I have to do something. But in the meantime, I got lots of time. And he also learns if he smiles real sweetly, he might get out of things. See, invest time in having children learn to obey when they're first asked. Yeah, it's a pain at the beginning. It seems like you're constantly watching over them. But it pays off in the long run. And don't encourage whining and back talk. We talked about Cain. And God said, you're doing wrong. And he says, why is your countenance fallen? God was saying, quit whining. Is basically what he was saying. Sometimes it might be a direct punishment, but that won't stop necessarily the expression, but it does say it's not approved of. Sometimes you can make the consequences of whining less favorable. Well, if you're going to whine, go to your room. Oh, now they don't get the intention they wanted. Well, one of my favorites was when my kids were little. Actually, I learned this from my dad. My dad told me the story, and I said, oh, this is so good. I did it with my kids. You know, there's some vegetable, usually it's vegetables, always vegetables, on the plate they don't want to eat. Oh, do I have to eat this? Grab the spoon, whop. What are you doing? Grab the spoon, whop. My wife would look at him and say, don't you get it yet? Every time you complain, he's going to put another helping on your plate. And one of my kids, we went through that. He ate before he got down, he ate every bit of it. But he stopped whining at dinner. Sometimes you have to make the consequence fit the complaint. If they don't like dinner, you can give them the option, well, you can skip dinner. Breakfast is in the morning. And something dinner sounds a lot more appetizing. No, they might skip once. They won't hurt them. But I guarantee you by breakfast time, they're willing to eat most things. Or if they drag their feet, they never show up right on time. Well, dinner's already put away. Sorry. Guess you missed it. Breakfast is in the morning. I know it sounds a little bit cruel, but it teaches people to put some effort into it. Then there's the problem of, I didn't hear you, that comes up about this time. Now, sometimes it's a legitimate point. Mom yells from the kitchen, dinner's ready. And the kid's engrossed in the latest action video downstairs, and they really didn't hear. So, parents, that means that you need to make sure your children do hear you. Get their attention. Put your hand on their shoulder. Look them in the eye. Guess what? I do this to teenagers, too. It works wonders. Not just for preschoolers. If you're asking something complex, ask them to repeat it back. So make sure they got it in their head. And if you're calling into the next room, require a response. You know, the old-fashioned, what you've seen it, people say, yes, sir, no, yes, ma'am. You know, that wasn't just polite response. It was just let the other person know they got the message. If you didn't get the response, you go in and find out why not. In other words, don't repeatedly yell. Follow through. Find out what's going on. Don't establish a habit of saying things that they can safely ignore. See, listening skills are part of an important skill in life. Take a look at James. I don't have it in my slides, but James chapter 1. And in verse 19. But this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. All of us need to learn how to listen. And listen well. So teach them how to truly listen to what's said. For instance, like, making them wait till you're finished, saying what you're going to say. I've seen examples like, Sarah, would you get my Bible? It's on the kitchen table. Meanwhile, Sarah is already out the door by the time she's had the word get. So she's out of the room. She just still has no clue as to what she's getting or where it's at. And then she comes back and says, I can't find it. And you know what mom does? She gets up and says, I'll get it myself. You know what Sarah just learned? I can get out of it. If I can't find it, I get out of it. What you do instead is say, ask the child, where is it? Or what did you tell her to get? Or where did you say I said it was at? In other words, teach her to start listening. And this reinforces. You know she didn't listen, so just ask. Well, what did I tell you to get? She does say, Bible? Good, she heard that one. Where did I say it was at? Oh, you didn't listen. Well, here, let me tell you again. In other words, don't teach them they can get out of things by ignoring what's being said. And also teach them not to color things that they would like to hear. Oh, we have real bad problems with that as grown-ups. I get that all the time. But little kids, it goes like this. Can I have a cookie? Well, after dinner. Why is there a cookie in your hand? Well, you said I could have one. See, they only heard the part they wanted to hear. I get to have a cookie, not the after dinner part. Or the multiplying cookie trick. Can I have a cookie? One. And Junior walks off with one in each hand and one in his mouth. But, you know, kids do that. Grown-ups do that. With the scriptures, a lot of times. They only read what they want to hear, read. They only register what they want to see. And we need to start with our children. Then there's the I forgot syndrome. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. God expects us to remember his laws, and we remember it by doing them. When we tell a child to do something, we need to help them learn to remember by making sure they do what was asked. Too many parents tell a child to do something and then they never go to see if it was done. Except maybe when it's way too late. Now if you tell a child to get dressed because we're going to go to services, don't wait until you're about to walk out the door to find out if she actually got dressed. Give yourself enough time. You know, it's time to get dressed. Then go check while there's still time to make sure that she remembered what was supposed to be done. Now, when you're teaching at first, it's going to be a lot of frequent reminders. Later on, you can stretch it out a bit. But don't accept goofing off until they hear you coming either. Because otherwise that child will grow up learning to goof off at work when the boss isn't around. During this time also you have the problem of tantrums. Not all kids have them, but some kids do decide one way to do it is to make a big scene. And that way I can get out of it. Whatever it might be. Or give in to demands. Sometimes giving demands means we can be held hostage. One of the rules we had in our house was when a child had a tantrum, that was an automatic denial of whatever they wanted. There was no way they were going to get it. I might have considered it beforehand, but a tantrum meant absolutely no way. What you should do is send them to another room to have the tantrum. If that doesn't work out well, walk out of the room. Don't give them an audience. If they persist, use a switch if you have to get their attention. But at no point do you say that a child gets away and gets their way just because they're causing a big fuss. Also, don't reward partial obedience. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. God insisted that Joshua not only learn the law well, but so that he did it completely. All of it, not just part of it. So you tell Johnny, pick up your room before bedtime. And Johnny manages to get to two items put away while playing up until bedtime. And I've seen parents sometimes reward Johnny by letting him stay up late to finish the job, or we let him off saying, well, you can do it tomorrow. That's rewarding partial obedience. What you should do is give a reasonable amount of time. If you don't have, by the way, a reasonable amount of time, don't give them rules that can't follow. But, so, you know, you tell them, get your toys picked up before bedtime. Then go check in time to make sure to remind them. You might have to remind them several times. And check on the progress. So you can correct the goofing off if that's the problem. With children, too, at this time, a lot of times we say, oh, they're, you know, child's too young to learn things. No, they're not. Especially not at preschool age. They can learn to behave in class and behave in church. Learning to sit still, well, that's needed for later schooling. It's part of listening skills to actually listen. They can participate in worship. They can participate in class. They love to sing. Love to learn songs. They can memorize simple verses or parts of verses. They can learn the books of the Bible. You can teach things like God has love for us. Our love for parents means that we obey. Our love for God means we follow what God says. All those type of things can be taught. I found I want to end it on a quote. It's titled, Some Thoughts for Now and Later. Someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivated a mother, I will tell them, I loved you enough to ask, where are you going? With whom? And what time would you be home? I loved you enough to insist that you save your money and buy a bike for yourself, even though we could afford to buy you one for you. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover your new best friend was a creep. I loved you enough to make you take the Milky Way bar back to the drugstore with a bite out of it and tell the clerk I stole this yesterday and I want to pay for it. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that would have taken me 5 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger, disappointment, and tears in my eyes. Children must learn their parents are not perfect. I loved you enough to let you assume the responsibility for your reactions, even when the penalties were so harsh, they almost broke my heart. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when I knew you would hate me for it. Those are the most difficult battles of all. I'm glad I won them because in the end, you won something too. When we're teaching, we got to understand, we can't teach. Not only do we have actual lessons to teach, but we don't want to teach unintended consequences, things that we didn't mean to instill. Because we want a child to grow up into a responsible adult. And for the same reason, we have to do that with adults as well. People have to understand, sometimes you do something wrong, and oh, by the way, you end up in jail. Oh, well. It's not easy. But maybe that's sometimes the best lesson to learn at all. Hope you'll think about these things. Not heavy on the scriptures, but give some points across. and hope it was beneficial to you. But we'd like to leave an opportunity, as we always do, that if there's anyone here tonight who has not yet become a child of God, there's no better time to become one than right now. And for those of you who are Christians, who would like the prayers of their brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.